Why is this going to get better, Rodney? I mean, we've been chewing the fat here for the last 48 hours on everything, the setback for Deshaun Watson. I think that fans are positively giddy about a chance to maybe get out of the contract and move on with the whole insurance thing. Maybe that's something you probably can't speak on right now. Maybe next spring or maybe next fall, summer, things like that. But, you know, 3-14, a lot of folks wanted their pound of flesh. Andrew spoke yesterday. Some people thought he was a little bit more forthcoming with some things, whatever. But I know that, you know, they're not going to be given very many chances coming up. Most people, when you're 3-14, mm-hmm. doesn't really go their way, and there's changes being made. How does this get better for Browns fans? Because this is, you've been here 2 years. This whole process really started in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
To where they're at now, and they got one playoff win in two appearances. One, God bless it with you. But how do I know that this is going to be better in 2025?
I personally think it'll be better simply because of the leaders that still exist in that locker room. And I believe they know what needs to take place and what has to get done. And what I think will ultimately happen, like anything in life, when you have a setback take place, it tends to ignite that fire that kind of lives inside of all of us, because any competitor is going to respond. And I think for this team, I believe that, again, like, this would be a way to just feel just that hunger, feel a lot of shame, maybe, like that we experienced this year, and really store all of those receipts.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? From media clippings to comments to everything that. You know, people kind of voiced about the Browns this year. Put all of that together, and let's go out there and show the world differently. And I think that will be the motivator this year. You know, similarly to how I entered last year. You know, coming off Browns, it seemed to be disrespected in a lot of ways, and that in itself kind of fueled us on top of, new people, fresh faces in the building, Jim Schwartz. Like, so there was a lot of excitement around all of that. But I really think that, yeah, it's unfortunate what took place this year, but we'll now channel that energy. They will channel that energy for good, for the betterment of the team, city, organization, and they'll get back on track. I honestly feel that way. Again, because of the men that live, that character that lives within that locker room, despite, again, what our record says, if you got the right men, then, again, you can get it done. I was on a team with Philly. We only won 4 games in 2020, and we turned around in 2021 under Nick Sirianni. But mm-hmm. a lot of the faces, the core leaders in that locker room still existed. And we were able to touch the playoffs. We lost to Tom Brady. But that was obviously a start for them in this new era to be able to push through. And what I'm saying is I feel like it was because of the core leadership that we had. And that, again, that brought us all together, anchored the troops, and then push forth the right message and the right mindset in 21 that got us back into winning form.
Well, I gotta admit something to you, Rodney. Like, a lot of people think that, you know, being media members, like, we want them to not win. It's better for your ratings. It's better for your cult. No, I don't think so. And we've talked about it before, Anthony and I. Anthony's from here. I'm from here. I'm nervous. I've been mad before. And I think that's been expressed before. I'm nervous because I've seen Browns fans really, really mad. I haven't seen them apathetic, really. Mm. I've seen them check out 2016 and 2017. They checked out. And I think, honestly, Rodney, I hate to say it, but I think a lot of them checked out during this year. But I'm picking up a different vibe than I've heard in ever in my career here, my life here, where I've seen a lot of anger, a lot of vitriol. I've said it myself at times, but there's something that's changed and it scares me where it's like, hey, I can deal with fans being mad. That's fine. I've been mad. I can be mad at them. I just don't want nobody to not care about them. That's a tremendous difference to me. You know, and you will do this at some point if you want to. I mean, being behind a microphone, talking to fans every day. If they're mad, I'd like to talk them off the ledge. Mm. Sometimes you'd like to push them to it if you think it needs to come to that level with your sports teams. But I can't have apathy. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are supposed to be civic treasures, these teams, and I get very nervous about this, Rodney. So, like, you got to make me feel better about where this franchise is going, because I don't want fans to have to go through this in the future, because I think some are just going to wash their hands of it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's not my job. You feel me? Like, I don't know, you know, what else to necessarily say. All I could do is speak how I feel, speak my truth. And hopefully that is settling for a lot of listeners and a lot of fans. But you got to let things just play its course, mm-hmm. Take its course over the next few months to see how, again, every person responds to the way this, you know, season ended. We all know there will be, you know, changes have already started to take place. You know, you don't know who's going to be at what slots or pieces are going to all exist, but they ultimately are looking to put certain pieces together where at the end the puzzle will illustrate hopefully a championship.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is where everybody in that building is living right now. It's living in the moment, is looking to win now. And you know, you're hearing it also from, you know, your core leaders, your cultural, you know, your guys who identify the culture here in Cleveland, you know, like Miles, and he's very expressive. And I think, you know, management and everyone above him, is in the same, you know, mindset where, again, we want to win now for not only us, but the city, because they deserve it.
How hard is it, Rodney, to overcome? You're on the defense, and 2 years ago, elite defense, and then the amazing Flacco run down the stretch to propel you guys to the playoffs. This year, you guys never, just quarterback-wise, really, this is just my perspective, really had to be hard to overcome. I know you can only do so much and worry about your side on defense, but now that it's all over, do you think that was maybe ultimately the thing that derailed the season was just the quarterback situation that you guys came into the season with?
No, I don't think that was the primary reason as to why we struggled this year. I'll just look at two things. We're speaking offensively first. It comes down to turnovers, right? Like, you had to protect the ball, and you can't give it away. You know, we talk about, you know, stats is what we live by in this industry, and for us, we have a large outcome of winning when, you know, we either tie or we're ahead in the turnover margin. Forget what the record is specifically, but it's like 30-6, let's just say, right, over our span under Kev. And so those are the things that ultimately are going to cost you, you know, the game, and hurt you and put you in positions, you know, where now your percentages to win go down. If we're speaking defensively, things that we talk about, eliminating explosives. Explosives can happen whether in the passing game or in the run game. And I think this year as a defense, we had our lapses of giving up the big plays more than we needed, we should have, and put ourselves again in harm's way because of those. We would play stout, maybe, you know, 85, 90%, but then those other 10, very detrimental and hurtful. And so that is what I look at on both sides of the ball. It's like, how do you minimize the turnovers? They're going to happen at times, but got to be to a minimum. We have to – that ball is sacred. And then the second piece is defensively. Like, you can't allow teams to have those explosives, because explosives lead into touchdowns, extended drive, whatever it might be. And so those two things, I think we didn't do a good job at consistently throughout the year, and it showed.
But I just know that the teams like the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, they can look at a stable quarterback situation, and then they can truly worry about what they do and try to play complementary football. You hear, you know, coaches all the time talk about that stuff. For you guys, it felt like you had to overcome the turnover situation consistently, and it's like, next thing you know, defense has to be back on the field. And now, next thing you know, a very talented defense with a pretty good scheme is giving up these huge plays that you're talking about. I just feel like, this is just my opinion, feel like if you had one of those situations where you guys knew who that quarterback was and it was a stable situation from the get-go, it would allow you guys to just play the type of football I think you guys were able to play down the stretch, especially last year.
Yeah, I mean, we live in a world of no excuses, so, you know, whatever the job requires, that's what we're responsible for. And, you know, I think Coach Banda put it in, and he did a good illustration. It's similar to, what's that bill like? What's that tab at the end of the night? Like, you know, you had that night that you was out with Josh Gordon in the club, like, what'd that tab turn into? You know, at the end of the day, somebody got to pay it. And defensively, that's the world we live in. You know, most of the time, like, we have to pay the bill. We can't look for somebody else to get it done. Doesn't matter, short field, turnover on that, whatever it might be. Like, we got to just go out, pay it forward, and get it done. And so, yeah, we could talk about everything that the offensive may have done. But at the end of the day, like, what didn't we do? Because I've also seen, you know, some other defenses like this year kind of maybe one game or several games look very similar, you know, or put in the same similar position, but they were able to overcome, right? So how do we overcome some of those struggles, those unfortunate situations that we may have been presented with? How do we find a way to get ourselves out, keep us in it, rally the troops? Because that's what we talk about, setting the pace on defense. And yeah, so that's what it is.
Did you think you started a little bit behind the eight ball as the season started as a defense? Like, Jim Schwartz had mentioned something like that at the end of the preseason, where it's like, hey, you know, some of these guys, they really got to pick it up because the season's starting before it is, and it's not going to be just like it was last year.
From our performance standpoint, I would say that wasn't our best showing in week one, the way that we came out. You know, we expected a lot more of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We held ourselves to a very high standard. So I think he is right. Like, you know, we didn't get off to that start that we were all anticipating. And again, you know, our job is to set the pace, set the tone for the team. And if we need to hold a team to three, or to 0 points, we feel we have the right, we have the guys to do that. That's how we identify ourselves.
Yeah, we had a lot of expectations for this year. Coming up next, I want to see how your expectations were either met or not met when it came to us, and also want to know what you're going to do in the future here. Near future, but like, what, you know, when training camp starts next year, what does Rodney McLeod do to keep himself occupied? Has he found his life's work, in the words of the late, great Chuck Knoll? Has he decided to do some other things? Does he decide to go into media? Does he decide to go into coaching or anything else? I want to know that when we come back.